What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck. I am Josh Hadley, and with me, as always, is...
Charlie McMullen.
Charlie, your voice got a lot higher than the last time you were on the show.
No, I feel so sexy. Wait, where did these come from? Jiggle, jiggle.
Yes, Jillian is here, and she's in a mood, if you can't tell. It's a good mood. It's a positive mood. But it's a mood nonetheless.
You totally outed me on my incognito-ness. For shame.
It was a really bad incognito-ness, to be fair. Let's just get right into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Jillian, I don't think our Florida listeners are going to be able to listen to us as easily anymore. Did you read the article I sent you? So basically what happened, Jillian, is Florida legislators accidentally banned computers, smartphones, and the very internet itself.
They broke the interweb.
They did. They really did. What basically happened was they passed a law to try and ban internet gambling at internet cafes, but they worded it in such a broad way that they actually banned, quote, any system or network of devices that would allow access to online gambling, which means all smartphones, computers, iPods, everything is technically illegal because it can access online gambling.
So Florida in the future will never be able to have Persicoms.
I don't even know what that is. So.
It's a Chobits reference. It's basically... human computers that, I'll stop there, that are women and some men do pervy things.
Jillian, do you see the problem in these broadly worded laws when they're trying to target one specific thing and they accidentally wing everybody else? That it's it's kind of like trying to get rid of a roach problem in your house by blowing your entire house up.
Yeah, I think basically lawmakers like to broadly word things because then it covers everything and nothing all at once. So they can go back and say, well, no, because this law has been established, so we're going to apply it to this certain factor over here. So by being so broad, they're basically, and we've talked about this with a lot of different laws, where the wording is just so obtuse to where they can fit any kind of situation in the future within that already established law.
We also have to look at the fact that, you brought this up to me when we were first discussing what we were going to discuss tonight. How the hell is this? I mean, how do you even enforce this? Will they even enforce this?
I mean, because, yeah, if you're going to go the whole monitoring route, which, you know, more and more information is coming out that, oh, crap, they're monitoring this and they're doing that. There are so many people in the population that, that's just so low key to be like, all right, is John Smith going to the interwebs and here's this app here? But okay, well, that's not actual gambling. That's just a game. Really, over the internet, you're going to be like, no gambling. There's just so much on the list of things that the government should be concerned about. And that is not anywhere near what they need to be focusing on.
Here's the real stinger to this whole thing. They might actually have to enforce this or figure out some way to do it. One of the owners of the internet cafe that was, you know, shut down due to this law, and one of the ones that was being targeted by this, he's basically saying, you can't selectively enforce the law. If you're going to shut down my internet cafe because I allowed people to gamble on my computers, then you have to shut down everyone else.
But that's the thing, in correspondence to, okay, this internet cafe got shut down because people were utilizing the internet to gamble, you are supplying Wi-Fi, okay? It is not your job to sit there and monitor, oh, what website are you on? What are you doing? That is not, the internet cafe is kind of like, hey, here's the internet. We'll give you cafe-y stuff depending what type of cafe we are. It's not really, it's not like, it's not like it's an arcade that's supplying slot machines. And so it's like, oh, slot machines are illegal and you're supplying them. So out you go. It's the internet. You can't monitor what individual people are doing. If they're sitting there on their smartphone, who the fuck is going to hover over you? Be like, are you just on Twitter? Are you on a gambling site? It's impossible. So if you are going to enforce that everywhere, You're basically shutting down the internet. There is no way to enforce what every single fucking person is doing for every single gambling site that may be out there.
And that's why I'm saying that they shot themselves in the foot with this broadly worded law, because if you do selectively enforce it, then the government of Florida is going to be sued for selective enforcement of the law, which is illegal. If you don't selectively enforce it, then they have to shut down all of the internet-capable devices in the state of Florida. The state of Florida...
They're basically outlawing internet devices.
Yeah, they basically backed themselves into a corner and got themselves into a no-win situation. That's why I think this is dumbest thing, because really, you didn't see this as a potential factor, Florida lawmakers?
Even if it was worded into a concise, clear idea of, you know, not internet devices, but just banning of certain sites, that's a whole different thing where you'd have to go with, you know, location of this site is not available here, but that is not on the internet Wi-Fi providers. Like, that is to each individual. There's no way to sit there and monitor, you know, do you see what I'm saying? Like, you can't say, oh, no smartphones because some people are gambling.
No, absolutely. You can't punish everybody because a couple people were bad. This week, Charles Koch of the Koch brothers, who, for those who are unaware, they are two hardcore right-wing billionaires who funded Scott Walker's re-election campaign in my state. They helped fund Mitt Romney. They fund the Tea Party. The Koch brothers are the hardcore, we need to take back America for the Merkins kind of people. Well, Charles Koch has come out saying that the minimum wage is a bad thing, Jillian. The minimum wage causes more problems than it solves, and the economy in America would be boosted if we eliminated the minimum wage. Let that sink in for a moment, people.
Yeah, no. Because basically, if you listen to that statement and you're like, okay, what does that mean? Yeah, they can pay you whatever they want. And so let's say you have a janitorial job. All right, we want to pay you 25 cents an hour. So their reasoning is, all right, well, you know, companies can hire more workers and that'll create more jobs. But here's the issue is people are struggling to live on minimum wage as it is. Not every place is accounting for cost of living. As cost of living goes up, usually in a state, minimum wage will raise as well. Well, the reasoning behind this new brilliant idea is that if companies don't have to pay you as much, they can hire more people to cover that. But then this kind of goes into the whole, all right, well, we've been talking a lot about welfare and food stamps and people not being able to get by, that there's specific criteria to meet of how much you make to where you qualify for assistance. If you bump down the minimum, I mean, this is kind of like illegal immigrant worker things here where, you know, companies will pay them like $2 on the side and hire them because they don't have to pay more. So to trust that companies are going to pay people a living wage, this just, it's insane. You cannot survive on, say, $2, $3 an hour if minimum wage is $8, if you're going to cut it by half. There's no fucking way. It doesn't create more jobs. What's going to happen is people are going to leave those jobs because they can't work on them. And yes, having a job, if you have no job at all, helps, but then you're going to have more people needing government assistance, which they're also trying to abolish.
Yes. See, you're actually, you put it into the perfect terms. These are the same people that are trying to get rid of welfare, but they think, I mean, Charles Koch actually said elimination of the minimum wage would help poor people get jobs. They don't factor in that the greed of humans. I think they see it as, okay, let's just say the average minimum wage is $8 an hour for this argument. Like you said, most places would cut it by half and only pay you $4, but they'd be able to hire two people, so that's more people that have jobs. No, they would go, okay, I don't have to pay the minimum wage anymore. Well, now I'm going to hire 8 people at $1 an hour. And those people will be goddamn happy that they have a job at all.
They're not going to be able to survive. And even if it's a situation, because you're saying they don't factor in human greed. All right. even a situation where people are struggling to make ends meet on minimum wage, if you cut that even by a dollar, if you've got someone working a full-time minimum wage job and you cut their hourly rate by a dollar and they are struggling to survive, that takes a lot out of their paycheck. So they cannot even survive on a slight cut, let alone by half. So you're creating a situation where, all right, well, we're going to pay you $7 or $6 or whatever. These people are struggling as it is. And so if you're creating another job, what you're going to do is create mass amounts of people who are working full time on whatever insanely low wage and not being able to support themselves. Just because you're lowering the price of minimum wage doesn't mean food's going to cost any less. Doesn't mean rent is going to cost any less.
Exactly.
If you give, if they're looking at it as, okay, well, there's homeless people living on the streets. This way they can get a job. That's not the issue. They're still going to be on the streets if you pay them a dollar an hour. There's no way to support yourself on
that.
It
would add more people to being on the streets.
It would, because people aren't going to, and I mean, you can look at it the same way as like, okay, well, people won't take those jobs, but there's no accounting for how many places are going to do that. Let alone, we've talked about all of the people who do need government assistance that aren't the bad eggs abusing the system, trying to get off government assistance, trying to find a job, who can't find a job. These people who are trying to enforce this banning of minimum wage, if you think that, you know, someone off the street who doesn't have a job is going to now be able to find a job because it pays less, it's not necessarily the cutting of qualifications. If they couldn't find a job in the first place, and even if they do find a job at $2, $3, $4 an hour, they're still going to be homeless because you cannot support yourself in this economy on $4 an hour. Not going to happen.
The cost of living is not going to balance out with the number of people working. That's not how this works. But also, let's not overlook the fact that this is like I pointed out earlier, the Koch brothers we're talking about here. These are guys who became billionaires by paying the absolute lowest amount they could to get the maximum amount of work out of somebody. That is not a philosophy that should be rewarded. That's the sick part to me, that these are people who are billionaires who've made their living off of the backs of the poor, who are trying to go, see, I know how to deal with the poor.
And do they own businesses that may have to pay minimum wage, maybe? Or
yes, they do.
Oh, wow. Who would have thought?
Yeah, there's no self-interest involved in this at all.
No, not at all.
There's also the fact that, as you pointed out earlier in this show, there are the apologists for this. One of the guys on Fox News actually said, would you rather have a low-paying job or no job at all? You should just be happy that you have a job. That is the kind of mentality that destroys what capitalism is supposed to be. Hey, you got a shit job. We're paying you shit, but it's better than no job, right? What a crock of shit, Jillian.
There's going to be kids who are mowing lawns that are going to end up getting paid more than people in these specific jobs that are minimum wage. And obviously, I'm sure there will be some companies that are like, well, whatever, we can afford, you know, $8 an hour to pay our people, because they are going to lose people that have been there for a while, whether the company cares or not. That's up to each individual place of business. And I'm sure with this, you'll also see a trickle effect of, all right, well, in a state where minimum wage is abolished, be like, oh, sweet, like everybody else is paying this amount. So our office, we can drop like, you know, $5-$8, and we're still in the lead than all of these other jobs. So they're not going to leave us because we're still paying them more than other jobs are paying.
But then you've also got the fact that, look at what's happening in Washington State right now with Walmart. Washington State has a higher than average minimum wage. Walmart is saying, if we have to pay minimum wage, then it's not even worth it for us to open a store there. It's not even worth it to us to open new stores, because our profit model is based on paying, just like the Koch brothers, paying the least amount of money for the most amount of work. This is the same Walmart that will cut you off at exactly 40 hours to avoid overtime. This is the same Walmart that has been taken to court at least into the triple digits numbers of times just in the last decade for not paying fair wages, for not paying people for the actual hours that they work. And for them, Jillian, to say, we'd rather not even open a store there than have to pay minimum wage is frankly offensive to me.
Because Walmart is so hurting for money.
Exactly. The Walton family is one of the richest dynasties in human history. They can pay minimum wage. This shouldn't be an issue, but it is. Do you see how this is frankly offensive to what capitalism is supposed to be, yet in a weird way is the definition of what capitalism is supposed to be?
You know what? With everything going on in politics and everything that representatives are trying to pass, it just keeps going downhill. You know, greed has just gotten so severe. I mean, obviously, I'm not naive. I know it's been around for a long time, but it just seems that there's this ever-growing concern with screwing over people who are in more financial need than the people on the top. And, you know, society's been like that to an extent for a long time, but it gets more and more severe. And this seems to be the focus of a lot of representatives in government, a lot of business moguls, and it just doesn't make any sense because these businesses are clearly not hurting for money, and it is. It goes down to just good old-fashioned human greed. It's discerning because, and this is a really old saying, of every civilization that hits its peak is its own downfall. Even going back to, you know, Greece and Rome, a civilization keeps going up only for so long, and then it crashes, and it crumbles, and it falls apart. And honestly, this is kind of like, are these the starting omens of just our society going further into the shithole and basically America self-destructing? And obviously, again, I want to stress that I know this isn't a new issue. It just keeps building and building.
This is an unsustainable system. The way we run it now, it is unsustainable. And I think those people that are making it unsustainable don't care because they know they're not going to be around when it collapses. You know, it's the same thing with like when Goldman Sachs gets bailed out. You know, the Detroit car companies all get bailed out by the government. What do? Instead of hiring people to reestablish the industry, they all give the top 10 CEOs bonuses. Human greed, like what you said. And yes, this will keep building. This will keep snowballing. And I wish I could say I see a light at the end of the tunnel. I more see us falling into the precipice. I really do. We're going to take a break after Hart. I can't say it's a lighter topic, but it's a different tone.
We're going to talk about sluts.
All right, if you just want to be blunt about it.
Not necessarily in a bad... I don't even know how to explain it. Slut shaming. That's what's going on next.
Ah! mechanical bull. Cowboy look is the one I saw. Can't change now the clothes I bought. Be too cowboy was my fate. I can't help it if I fall late. Check out the cowgirls in their Stetson hats. They're tight in their jeans so they don't look fat. We'll all be listening to cowboy tunes. We're stomping around like a bunch of goons. Cowboy look is the one I saw. Can't change now the clothes I bought. I've seen whose cowboys look the best. Oh, I can ride that funny bull so damn good. Sometimes I think I'm Clint Eastwood. Cowboy look is what I saw. Can't change now the clothes I bought. Beat you cowboy was my fate. I can't help it if I won't wait. I know I'm a cowboy deep inside. My hat band's made out of synthetic rattlesnake hide. And after a couple of shit kicking cowboy movies, we check out the cowboy scene down in Zuvio's. Cowboy look is what I saw. Can't change now the clothes I bought. Beat you cowboy was my fate. I can't help it if I fall late. Find out who all fights the best. We start fight with them punks at the cuckoo's nest. Those damn punks are crazy though. They're meaner than a bull in a rodeo. Cowboy look is what I saw. Can't change now the clothes I bought. If I'm afraid to ride a horse with a broken nose and a fucked up knee, well, maybe this cowboy scene just ain't for me. Cowboy look is the one I saw. Can't change now the clothes I bought. Beat you cowboy was my fate. I can't help it if I'm all late. Yeehaw! Woo, woo!
You are listening to another Heart Attack with Hart D. Fisher, sandwiched in the middle of a what the fuck moment. And with me is, yes, more Josh Hadley.
No one can get enough of Josh Hadley.
That's right. Jackalope Radio needs more Josh Hadley shows. And today I really wanted to get into, you folks haven't heard me really speak about this Zimmerman trial. And the reason you haven't heard me talk about it is because it's a ploy to distract you from what is really going on. This whole issue with the Zimmerman trial, while it sucks, I'm not happy about what went down with it. It bothers me. But here's the thing that really gets to me about this trial is my feeling is the mass media and the corporate powers behind it were working to get you, the viewer, worked up. They manipulated the news to cause more of a sensation, and I truly believe they were trying to provoke racial confrontation by calling this man a white Latino. Now, before you jump down my throat and call me some kind of racist asshole, let me put it to you in perspective. Josh, you listened to the news and you worked in the news department, correct?
I worked in a newsroom for 10 years and I was an assignment editor for two of those.
In your entire career, did you recall ever once hearing the term white Asian?
No, not at all.
Question number two. Have you ever heard a black person referred to as white black?
No.
Question number three. Have you ever heard of anybody referred to as a white Latino?
No, it's a meaningless fucking term. It's something when you want to use the term white, because nobody calls President Obama a white black or a white African. He's just
or a
black.
High yellow. They don't call him high yellow. You know, all that shit. Let's talk. We're going to talk a little bit about race in this country, guys, because they were using race to keep you distracted, to keep you angry, so you don't pay attention to what's really happening in this nation. We have real things happening, and they're making some very, very scary laws that we talk about on this show all the time. Right now, tonight, we are going to talk a little bit about more of the NSA snooping, the secret war that's happening right now in this country. You know, we talked earlier in the week or earlier on a show about how we said, we declared, America from the top down said, if you commit acts of cyber attacks on America, that is a declaration of it is an act of war. And we find out that America has been doing cyber warfare on other countries. That means we have declared acts of war. What the fuck are they doing? Now, the Zimmerman thing, it's all designed to get you angry. So you're all on the blogosphere talking about bullshit instead of talking about something real. Like this secret city inside Fort Meade, Maryland. There's a top secret fucking city with tens of thousands of fucking people. They got more than 50 buildings. They got their own post office, their own fire department, police force. But it's designed like a fucking Russian fortress. It sits among a forest of trees. It's surrounded by electrified fences and heavily armed guards, protected by anti-tank barriers, monitored by motion control detectors, watched by rotating cameras, and all of it is set up to block any kind of electronic signals or any kind of anything coming out of it. It's our cyber city, and it's run by a guy who's a four-star general. Now, if you want to read about this, I'm getting my information here from Wired.com, and I'm reading about General Keith Alexander, who's in charge of this secret army, our secret cyber army, okay? Let me tell you how serious they are. The buildings and the walls of these buildings are wrapped, like the inner walls of the buildings are wrapped in protective copper shielding. And then the one-way windows are embedded with a fine copper mesh. Now you think about that, guys. Secret city you've never fucking heard of. You want to say, oh, this government's not capable of handling its business. Well, fuck, when they want to, they can. You ever heard of this thing before, Josh?
Not until you sent me the Wired article. And I know it sounds like something out of a science fiction movie, but this is real. It's really happening right now. And people, they would be more concerned about, oh, George Zimmerman is doing this and Kim Kardashian said this and blah, blah, blah. They are trying to distract you. Hey, look over here, shiny keys, while they pickpocket you with their left hand.
And it's not even pickpocketing you, guys. They're raping you. They're raping you. You don't understand what's happening. These assholes are getting ready for more cyberkinetic attacks. This general that you've never heard of, General Keith Alexander, well, guess what? They've already done it. They sent a computer virus to Iran to fuck with their nuclear program. They are already engaged in cyber warfare. This is actually happening. So in a way, we declared a war on Iran already. Okay, guys, it's pretty fucking scary, isn't it? But that's just the beginning. His agency has recruited thousands of computer hackers, experts, and engineering PhDs to expand our offensive capabilities in the digital realm. Okay? They want $4.7 billion for cyberspace operations. Even as the budget of the CIA and other agencies could get cut by $4.4 billion, they need $4.7 billion over here to spy on everybody. Because that's right, they're spying on us. How can you as a businessman engage in business honestly when your competition might have an inside man with the government and they're going to spy on you and get inside information on your business so that this other business can get ahead of you? That's what's going to happen, guys. That's a real world of effect when everybody is spied upon. People will get inside word and they'll get the edge on everybody. And in the meantime, they're just going to keep distracting you with bullshit like the Zimmerman bullshit.
Isn't that called insider trading, and isn't that illegal?
Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, the funny thing is there's laws on the books that were meant to keep our congressmen and our senators from using their information in the government to do insider trading. Guess what? They put some big loopholes that went into those laws this year.
Well, and then it also just came out a few days before we record this that the NSA spying program that we're talking about here in the overall was actually instituted by Bush before 9/11. So yeah. If they were spying on everybody, couldn't they have stopped 9/11 2001?
The NSA and Bush started this spying program before 9/11. And their wording is, well, we've stopped so many terrorist attacks with our ability to blah, 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 blah. They didn't stop 9/11. It didn't stop the Boston Marathon bombing. It's bullshit. The only thing they want to spy on is us. This is all about keeping control over you me and everybody else. It's about maintaining the status quo so that the people that are in power stay in power. That is the point. They are terrified of us becoming active in our governance. They are terrified of us getting elected and taking our government back, because that's all it takes, guys. Get elected. It's not that fucking hard. And you start small. You start in your own backyard. And you better start soon, because they're assassinating journalists here in our country and covering it up. That's right. I'm talking about
the Michael Hastings things pissed me the fuck off when, dude, I found out about what they did to his body.
Yeah, let me get into this here. These assholes in the government, when you cover up a crime, you destroy evidence. Michael Hastings is the reporter that brought down General McChrystal, who was in charge of the Afghanistan war. And he was working on more bad news about General Petraeus, or Betrayus, the guy who was also in charge of the war as a general and then went on to the CIA. Okay, so he's working on this article, and suddenly he's being investigated by the FBI at 1 p.m. He sends out an email saying, hey, guys, I'm scared. I'm going to go into hiding. Boom. His fucking car blows up like it ain't never fucking blown up before. And guess what? His body was cremated by the government against the wishes of his family and against procedure when investigating a crime. When you investigate a murder, you must maintain a chain of evidence for the trial when you catch the killer, and they destroyed the body against the wishes. Why did they cremate Michael Hastings' body? You know why? Because they're covered up a crime, and that's either not his body, or they did something else to it, or that poor motherfucker is in a torture dungeon in Somalia somewhere. So remember that, you guys. Remember that. You got to get active now, because they're tightening the noose every fucking day. I'm Hart D. Fisher. You're listening to Heart Attack. You can find more of us on Facebook. We're on iTunes. Get into it.
Turn down.
as you guys know, I am a woman. Surprise, surprise. I kind of see both ways on this whole slut-shaming thing. If you don't know what slut-shaming is, basically, it's bashing women, specifically women, for being very overtly sexually active. Trickles down into middle schools and high schools, obviously in the form of bullying. Even in cases where, you know, kids aren't having sex, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, she's going out with this guy. I like, well, she's a slut. It basically goes into cattiness. And it gets more severe with social media, you know. And so here's the thing. It's a double standard, basically. And it's kind of, you go back to like the madman type stuff where you've got the exec and he's banging all these chicks and it's always, all right, man, or the football player that's getting laid. Well, basically what happens is, you know, football Johnny B, quarterback star, massive hottie guy, talks about how he was banging so-and-so and so-and-so. Suddenly that gets around the school. So, you know, suddenly Johnny B, the quarterback, is awesome for banging all these women, but the girls are sluts because they slept with him. So slut shaming is a huge double standard in society where men are, you know, kind of praised or whatever for being what I call a man whore, which, yeah, when I use terms like that, it's kind of like, you have sex a lot. You know, that's kind of like the man version of being a slut. Is being a slut bad? Depends. We've done stories on this show about people that just have so much sex and they've got like 14 kids. That is the...
But Jillian, that double standard that you speak of, and I'm not denying that it's there, okay? So don't think that's what I'm trying to do. I don't think that that's anything new, nor is it anything that's
it's not
going to change.
But what's happening is, and again, I'm on both sides of this, okay? I'm kind of introducing, if you guys don't know what slut shaming is, and I'll try and get my point here quickly. It's blown up because of social media sites, because you have girls doing the sexy poses in their underwear, and these girls are underage or they're, you know, just barely legal. And so they get marked as a slut, whether they're hugely sexually active or not. Slut shaming has been around. It's bullying. You know, girls are catty. We've talked about Halloween where you've got slutty Batman and she's looking at slutty Thor and is like, that girl's a slut. But she's wearing the exact same outfit. You know, it just goes into catty jealousy and bitchery. And the majority of the time, and there's been studies on this, it's girl-on-girl crime. It's girls shaming other girls. And yeah, it's not always that case because you have, you know, people are cruel, especially kids in school. When you have things like social media and you are posting overtly sexual pictures of yourself, you need to understand consequences. It's like you are putting yourself out there for sexual objectification, okay? And at a younger age, it's no more of like, oh, well, she's a bitch, or, you know, they've got kids get made fun of for how they look, acne, everything like that. So in a situation of grade school or high school or whatever, it's straight up bullying. And yes, it's going to hurt. And girls are getting quote unquote punished because they're sexually active. So you've got a situation of guys talking about who they've banged and it gets out that way. But you also have a situation of girls talking about how sexual they are. So you are going to be judged for your actions and what you tell people. Is it right? No. Is it a fact of life? Yes. If you're posting barely nude pictures of yourself and talking about your sexual conquests online, you're going to be judged for it. Yes, it's a double standard. Yes, you know, it's not right. It's bullying, but that's the way the world is. They'll take anything and make fun of you. Is it a huge society issue that needs to be blown up like this? I don't know, because if you're going to handle the whole slut shaming thing, it's like, bullying in general. That's just one aspect of somebody doing something that's being focused upon. And what was that girl that ended up committing suicide? And they were calling her slut and everything. And, you know, they had all of this stuff online and it was this saucy picture of her in her underwear. And basically, she was texting sexualized pictures, posting things. People were calling her slut, and she killed herself. And it got so much attention. But yet there's other kids that are less newsworthy that because they're a quote unquote dork or they have acne or they're awkward that get bullied to the extent where they kill themselves. It seems like society is focusing on the quote unquote pretty girls who get slut shamed. And that's not what needs to be focused on. And people need to understand. And it, I guess it just irks me because people are picking this as like a huge cause and social issue. Honestly, I think it only exists as badly as it does today because of social media. And it goes back to the whole people losing their jobs over posting things online and, you know, the alcoholism or the drugs. It's like you're
putting yourself
out there.
You and I talked about that teacher. You and I talked about that teacher that was fired because she had a picture of like whiskey or something on Facebook. Yeah,
even babysitters. I mean, you've got situation of babysitters or people that have office jobs and they're like smoking blunts and stuff, so they get fired because there's a no drug policy. That is an example of your actions and your personal life that you are posting for the world to see coming back and biting you in the ass. So we've got a situation, I don't know how many fucking times I come across avatars and just pictures that people are passing around of, you know, the quote unquote slut poses. And you know what? I'm calling them that because it's kind of like they're posing these sexy ways and then they're posting them online just for, you know, the sexual attention. Where it's, oh, you're so hot. I mean, that's the only reason you would put a sexy pose online is so that you can get that feedback. So in a way, it's kind of like girls are looking for the self-gratification of, sweet, people think I'm hot. People are looking at this. But then they get the negative side of it with girls being like, well, you're a fucking slut. And it's like, why are you posting yourself in underwear? You know, why are you posting yourself in underwear online? So I'm not saying that slut shaming is justified, but at the same time, it's not the same as, you know, an 11-year-old going to school and people doing rumors and calling her a slut because she likes the popular boy. You know what I'm saying?
So then let me ask this. Do you think this is truly social based or somewhat gender based? Because the way I see it, men, and I'm going back to Neanderthal times here, men have always been this, you must spread your seed and impregnate as many women as possible. That's something that's actually bred into the male of the species. So to me, kind of not shaming the male in the species, but shaming the female is kind of just built into the gender, not as much social. The social aspect might make it worse. Don't get me wrong, Jillian. But I think it's actually something that's built into us. It's sort of an evolutionary caution. Because think about it. Think about just on a pure survival level. A woman can only get pregnant once at a time. So she can carry one child. A man can go and impregnate 9 different women, therefore propagating the seed and propagating the species. Do you see how that's sort of built into our very DNA?
Right. And that's what I mentioned at the beginning is, you know, in the times of, you know, I call it the Mad Men times with the show Mad Men, where it's, you know, the exact
the 1950s.
And like, right. Like the 50s and 60s, where it's like, yeah, you're banging the secretary. But if a girl does it, oh, my God, that girl's such a whore. It is a double standard and it has existed for a long time. What I'm saying is I think we're seeing more of an issue with it because of social media and because of the pictures and actions and because we're such a sexualized society. You have situations where people are posting on Facebook and Twitter about how they got laid and, you know, they were with this person and that person. So there's more information out there that you're revealing about yourself for people to use against you. And, you know, we all use words like, you know, the girls talk to their friends. Or you're like slut, bitch, whore. You know, obviously we're not talking about that stuff, but you've got situations and girls are catty. Girls are jealous, okay? So they're going to use anything and be like, well, she's a fucking whore. And like I said earlier with the Halloween thing, you can have someone that, and even that, like Halloween costumes, you know, it's slutty Thor, slutty Optimus Prime, it's slutty this. Hell, I mean, I call it sexy Captain N, but it could be slutty Captain N. I don't give a shit.
So
like,
I have to ask you on that topic then, do you think the word slut, as it's used in popular culture, such as selling Halloween costumes, do you think that has lost some of the grip it had or gained more grip?
Honestly, I think because we're such a sexualized society that the pungency of the word slut is lost depending on the person and who is affected. If you're a virgin and you like the popular guy and then suddenly people are making fun of you because you're awkward and calling you a slut as a young person, yeah, that's going to hurt you. As adult women who are out there and people saying slut, most of the time they don't know shit about you unless you've been posting it online, but they're calling you that because they're jealous, because they think you're pretty, or because you dress provocatively. And this kind of goes into the whole blaming the girl for the rape because she's dressing provocatively. And so the whole slut shaming thing goes down so many levels. So you've got situations where it's okay. It's like, I'm a slutty blah, blah, blah for Halloween. And then you've got situations of the people who aren't sexually active and people that just take offense to that type of word. And there's so many words in the English language that are like that. I can call my friend a bitch and we can go, hey, slut. Well, hey, whore. Well, at least I get paid for my tricks. You give them away for free. If a stranger comes up to me and is like, hey, slut, I'd be like, who the fuck are you talking to? Like, you know what I mean? And so it is a double standard because, you know, you see it in schools a lot more. And because we're a social media society, we see it in adults a lot more. But here's the fact. If you are not, and I mean, I'm not saying I would never, ever post a sexy pic or whatever. If people are commenting being like slut, whore, blah, 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 it's like, I am like ready to accept that. You know, I don't even think I would unless it was a cosplay or Halloween costume. But if you're posting pictures of yourself in your bra and your underwear, you're kind of asking for attention. So for somebody who is reserved to be like, dude, you're a fucking slut, it's kind of like they come to the conclusion that you're clearly a very overly sexualized person who is seeking attention online by practically being nude and posting pictures. So basically, they're words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Yes, they can hurt you mentally. But I think the bigger issue here is bullying and taking responsibility for what information you put out there. If you're sitting there and you're tweeting and you're saying like, oh man, I went to the bar and I totally got laid, blah, 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 I did this randomly. You know, if people call you a slut and you're posting those things, then, you know, you shouldn't care. If you are posting overtly sexual things and then getting pissed at people calling you a slut, it's like you are how you portray yourself.
So, Jillian, I see your point. I think the audience sees your point. I don't know if society sees your point, but our audience sees your point. We unfortunately have to wrap up, though. So where can people find you? And for those that don't know, you should look up her pictures as Sexy Captain N. Notice I said sexy, not slutty.
I don't even care if it's... Honestly, it was going to be Slutty Captain N, but I think I changed it to Sexy Captain N for the episode of 80s Dan. You can find me at I'm a Big Slut on Facebook.com. I have tons of sex on Twitter and sexy pics on the cinema. No, I can't do that. And I do want to make it clear, I'm not saying blame the girl. I'm just saying if you're posing pictures of yourself all sexy out there, expect that you're going to get negative feedback and you need to grow a thicker skin. Kids should not be bullied. Rape victims should not be blamed. The end.
Well, and you can find me at 1201beyond.com. You can find this show and all the other shows at 1201beyond.com. Also, geekjuicemedia.com. And you can reach the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com.
I'm Jillian Zarowski, and I like sex, damn it. We'll be right back.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.